Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. I am a little concerned. Every year, you know, we do this roster countdown series where we go from 91 all the way down to 1. We're at the back end of that. We have two installments left. Today is players number 8 through 5, and then I believe Sunday is the next 49ers day off. We'll do 4 through 1. This is the episode where I knew we would get some flack, and I don't want you guys to hold back on me now at all, because somebody has to be number 5, somebody has to be number 6, somebody has to be number 7, and that's kind of the cutoff. Like, there's 7 potential Hall of Famers on the 49ers roster. 7. How do you put a Hall of Famer number 7 on his own roster, let alone 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? There are arguments at every single spot. So this is a flawed process, but I respect the process that we go through. Shout out to Ben, Josh, Zach. They help us rank all these players 1 through 91 and kind of get, like, you know, a consensus. But it's rough. It is rough. So again, this is just about the importance to the 2026 season. This is episode 1,687 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. We've been doing this for a while. This is our 6th installment, I believe. We started back in 21. 2022. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is our 6th year doing this. Ah, it's been fun. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Right here, Koss, what does the hashtag CC mean? That means countdown crew. So whenever you throw that hashtag CC up there, thank you, Niner Faithful. Chapman's crew, I'll take it. The idea is it is a free way to help the show continue to grow. That's the idea. It helps boost the algorithm with the participation early on in a show. So it helps YouTube recommend the show to other people. And so whenever somebody looks for Niners content, it pushes us up the list. So anytime you do that hashtag CC on the live show, we appreciate it. And for those of you that aren't watching live, that do take your content through Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, whatever means necessary, we want to say thank you. It is a huge way. And if you're looking for more free ways to support the show, if you really like what we do, even if you're not on Spotify, even if you're not on Apple Podcasts, go hit that subscribe and automatic download button. Cost you nothing. Helps our numbers out. But that's where that hashtag CC is. So thank you. Appreciate everybody out there coming through. What's up, RTP? Love it. Tommy's in the chat. Ben, NY Niners, if you watch the live show, he's one of the guys that helps with all of this research. We put in a lot of work to attribute as much information as possible to each one of the individual participants on the 49ers roster, which there's 91 of them. So that when the preseason starts, when training camp starts, which it already has, and you know who all of these guys are and their stories. If you want to go back and look at some of the past ones, our YouTube channel is probably the most friendly way to. We have an entire 2026 roster countdown playlist, so you can go through all of those if you wanted to, and you could search the players and all that kind of stuff. That is there. Yeah, appreciate Reese. He says, love the hat, John. Repping the Dwight Clark InfiltratorShop.com hat. This hat is as cool as it gets. I do know that. It's freaking awesome. What's up, Dan Case? Appreciate you, man. I love it, dude. Just painted a sample wall in my loft. San Francisco Gold by Valspar. We might be locking into this trend. And I know Dan Case, he's out in Carolinas. I think North Carolina. Dude, representing from afar. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What's up, Captain? Talofa, brother. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, man. Everybody in the chat, I love it. Right here, I need a new jersey since you gave me the I puke one, John. Oh, we will step up our game. Yeah, we gave out a lot of IU jerseys autographed back whenever he was in the good graces of the Faithful community. He is not anymore. We got to get you a new one, Tommy. We got to work on that. My son, it was funny. I think I told this story. When he was moving out and like he was going through, and I give him so much Niner memorabilia. I was like, what all do you want to take? What do you not want to take? He had a carload, right? That's all he could bring with him to Texas. And he got to the IU jersey. He's like, I do not want to bring this. I was like, well, do you want me to give it away to somebody else? He goes, nope, I don't want anybody to have it. I want it going in the trash. Nobody deserves this. And, dude, respect. Sometimes that's where it's supposed to go. Oh, what's up? Applesauce coming in from London. Love the showtime. There we go. That is awesome. We are currently 34 days. We are the Jet Perry days away. Oh, Joe the Jet Perry, number 34, days away from the 49ers regular season. Cannot wait. We're going to be in Australia. If you're going out to Australia, come party with us. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We got tickets up to the day before event. All-inclusive premium tailgate set up before. It's going to start off at 6:30 in the morning. Oh, Aussie time. It doesn't matter what time. We got a tailgate. If we're going down there, we got to do it. that's where it was. Appreciate it. Oh, J-Dog coming in from Boston. We got a lot of East Coasters coming out right now in the chat. I love it, love it, love it. All right, without further ado, we got to do this. I'm not overly concerned about number 8. It's the 7-6-5 that I am just like, there's no right answer. So, without further ado, the number 8 overall player on the 49ers roster countdown series for 2026, Colton McKivitz. This guy, one of my favorite 49ers. Like, one, I really, really liked him in the draft coming out of West Virginia. Just tough, always has to have the last hit. It turns out the 49ers liked him even more than I did. John Lynch lit out. You know, this was coming off of the Joe Staley retirement, which nobody knew about. And post-draft press conference, John Lynch puts out there, if we didn't land Trent Williams, we were going to draft Colton McKivitz in the third round, and he was just going to step in as our left tackle. That's what they thought. Now, you get the trade for Trent Williams. Fifth round comes around, and Colton McKivitz still sitting there, and they take him. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Went through some ups and downs, got cut, came back, fought his way back. Now he's one of the best right tackles in football. He is absolutely incredible. And you look at the rankings for the past five seasons for Colton McKivitz. Back in 22, he was number 32 overall. 2023, he was number 12. 2024, he was 17. Last year was 15. Now he's up to 8. Coming off his best year by far. Where's jersey number 68? Country dude, 6'6", 300 pounds. He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 when the season starts. Played at West Virginia. Country kid. Went to East Richland Christian High School before transferring to Union Local in Ohio just so that he could get, a lot better competition. I didn't turn my notifications off. My phone's blowing up. And so they retired his number at his high school. Two-time team captain at Union. Just incredible. Made the honor roll, all that kind of stuff. Played basketball. He was an all-state basketball player. three-star recruit, goes to West Virginia, was a staple there for their offensive line, played in 47 games, started 47 games for West Virginia out of a possible 50. Outdoor fishing, hunting, always talks about hunting and fishing in the offseason and bye weeks. And, you know, really unique thing right here. A hobby Colton shares with his dad is making hats from the pelts of the animals they killed when hunting. To each their own, my friend. To each their own. Colton McKivitz gets drafted in the fifth round of the 2020 draft class, 153rd overall. And again, it's kind of crazy. You go back and you look at that fifth round. There are two players that stand out. Not an overwhelmingly good NFL draft round. Two players, Colton McKivitz and wide receiver Darnell Mooney. Those are the two highest rated players from, you know, an approximated value as attributed to Pro Football Reference, how much playing time, all that stuff. Darnell Mooney actually outranks him, and a lot of that is because Mooney played as a rookie. Colton McKivitz didn't play for his first three seasons significantly. Now, you look at, going into his seventh season, this dude has started 51 straight games for the 49ers at right tackle. Good Lord. An Iron Man, if you will. He's playing 79 games, 56 starts, but 51 consecutive starts for Colton McKivitz? You get so much attention given to the injuries that take place for the 49ers, and I understand that. But to get somebody that started 51 straight games, that is unbelievable in today's NFL. And it's beyond unbelievable for the 49ers themselves. He's incredible in the run game, just a value player on a value deal. Locker room guy, plays with some nastiness. You know, you always have Trent Williams and Jake Brendel, kind of like, they don't go all out every play, to put it kindly. They're not running downfield. And, you know, if the play calls for Trent Williams to pull and get out and lead, you know, a screen or a reverse, he'll do it. But Trent's going to pass pro for a good 3.5 seconds, and then if there's, you know, the quarterback scrambles, he's chilling and turn around and watch it. Jake Brendel will block for 2 seconds. Colton McKivitz has to be the last person to get the shove in at the last play, every single play. You know, we break down the 49ersrush.com in our Patreon channel, every offense, defense, special teams play for the past 4.5 seasons, right? Colton McKivitz, this is a thing that he has to do. Like, it's a pesky, I have to get the last shove in. He doesn't get flagged for it, ever. I have to get the last shove in. The whistle blows, I'm just going to put my hands on his shoulder pad one last time. I love that attitude. By far, best season last year. Highest grades across the board from a PFF standpoint. 84.2 overall, 72.6 pass, 90.4 in the run game. Fourth highest grade of any offensive tackle, left or right tackle, in the run game. And listen to the names he's behind. Penei Sewell, Trent Williams, and Tristan Wirfs. Those are the only run blockers better in the NFL at the tackle position than Colton McKivitz. Yes, there are flaws to Colton McKivitz's pass production. That hybrid speed-to-power rusher always seems to give him problems. No doubt about that. But in the run game, dude is on point, top five, consistent, incredible run blocking technique from the right tackle. Just awesome. Ninth highest overall grade for all tackles. Like, Colton McKivitz, you're getting unbelievable play from him. And then you look at he signed a 3-year, $45 million deal, Colton McKivitz. He's only made $15.8 million in his career, getting cut, brought back, cheap pay, RFA, all that kind of stuff. Finally gets this deal done. He's now the 11th highest paid right tackle. He's not the 11th best right tackle. He is way surpassed that. I put him in that 6, 7, 8 territory. But if he plays again and puts up another year like he did last year, then you're arguing kind of 4th, 5th, 6th best right tackle, and you're paying 11th prices. That is huge. Absolute steal. He's tied with Jalen Moore, who was with the Niners and went to the Chiefs. They're making the same amount of money per year. Nobody is choosing Jalen Moore over Colton McKivitz. Nobody is. Nobody. Like, he is just freaking awesome. Tommy, appreciate the super chat. Don't jinx Colton, John. We need health. Man, I do not believe in jinxes, but I will knock on wood if you're into that superstition, evil eye, whatever. Not my jam. It's not my jam. I wish I was that powerful. I really, really do. Just sadly, I am not. appreciate you, Law of All. Thank you so much, man. Tommy right here with the rare positive comment. Safe travels to everyone going to Australia. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate you. Great spot for our right tackle. Forgot about him. The Mountaineers. That's right, man. Love it, love it, love it. Been solid ever since we got him. Continues to improve year in, year out. And that's what you want. That's what you want. Dan says, John, speaking of offensive line, thoughts on trying to reunite with Lakin Tomlinson or Dan Brunskill? That guard room is way too populated. I do not think that there is any room. Both of them, I think, are kind of on the back end, if not done with their careers. I hate to say that for them, but you're not going to keep the guards that you have now. You look at that position, usually you keep seven offensive linemen. You got your starting five, then you keep two. You can have call up one practice squad guy, but you drafted two backups. You're talking Vidarian Lowe, and you're talking, Carver Willis and Enrique Cruz, plus you paid Vidarian Lowe. That's your eight. Now, are you going to keep Robert Jones? Are you going to keep Brett Toth? Like, you don't have room already for the guys that you have. I am not interested in the least in bringing in Lakin Tomlinson or Dan Brunskill. Not even a little while. Crazy Juice, I'm with you. We're center away from having a good offense. I would argue the 49ers have a good offensive line. They have quality. They have three plus level starters. Left tackle, one of the best. Right tackle, plus level. Right guard, plus level. Left guard and center are below average. But collectively, the 49ers have an above average offensive line. For sure. Brandon Thorne, who I respect very, very much, he did composite rankings. I think he had the 49ers at 11th best offensive line. You've got great tackles, which are the two most important. Not very many offensive lines in the NFL have three-plus level starters. The 49ers do. That's 60% of your offensive line is quality. Dominique Pooney, Colton McKivitz, and, of course, Trent Williams. The center, the lack of run blocking, the lack of tenacity, play strength, and quitting on plays, that is the killer. If you can get some stable play at the left guard spot, all right, now we're talking. So, anyway, do with that what you want. Left tackle, first shove. Right tackle, last shove. Yeah. Then there's the center with an eye roll every time the quarterback gets belted. That's pretty good. I like that, Dan. Well said, man. I wish it wasn't that way, but yeah, when you watch as much tape as we do, you recognize, like, dude, this guy just keeps quitting. I can't believe the Niners let him do that, but yeah, it's okay. I will say Jake Brindle did have a handful of positive highlight plays last year. That's new. All right. Now, I will say this. Hopefully you guys, dude, did y'all watch that Hall of Fame game last night? Whew. That was a good damn time. I love seeing good football out there. And there's so many positive things about the new football season, including betting with my bookie. Man, we are back with them again. They have supported this show. A big reason why we were able to go full-time was my bookie. So if you're going to bet, and this works anywhere, if you're in California, you can use this. My bookie and the 49ers rush hand in hand, baby. Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you've been betting for years or you're just looking to get into the action for the first time, MyBookie is where I'm playing. I'll be sharing some of the spots that we're on. And if you want to follow along with us betting every single week, weekly, season long, you name it, we post those at the 49ersrush.com. Every single bet we do and on our Patreon channel, the 49ers Rush podcast. So, and that's the thing, you get a pick with my bookie, whether you just want to jump in, you want to bet props, you want to bet over under, you want to bet who wins outright, MVP, whatever sport, college football, NFL, doesn't matter. It is up on my bookie and they are ready to help you guys out. So if you're new to the club, here's what we're going to do. We're setting up a safety net. You get a bet back bonus. Your very first bet from $50 all the way up to $500. If you lose, you get it right back, plus a $25 casino credit. So sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS. Opt into our bet back bonus and take your first shot with a safety net. Football's finally here. Get in now and cash in with my bookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere. I bet in California, Texas, doesn't matter where you are, you can use my bookie. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Let's do the seven overall play. I hate this, man. I don't like it. I didn't like it when the votes came out, but like whenever we go through this, understand there's a caveat. It's hard. It's just so hard. And this is Hall of Fame tier begins. There are seven players on this current 49ers roster that are on Hall of Fame watch. And we're going to detail that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Roger Craig, Mr. High Knees himself getting in. It was beautiful seeing him, emotional, how happy he was. Deserves it. The original 1,000 and 1,000 running back, the most dual-purpose running back in the history of the NFL that started and laid the groundwork for so many others. I get the fumble. I get all that. I get it. System, I get it. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Had to wait longer than he should, but he's in. And I love that for him. And now as we start number seven, dude, all of these players potentially could be in the Hall of Fame. I doubt it happens for all seven, but it's possible. Number seven, don't hate me. And this has to do with the injury more than anything else. George Kittle comes in number seven. The injury plays a factor in that. But somebody had to be number seven, and it was close. It was close. Now, you look at George Kittle's rankings throughout this process. 2022, he was 5. 2023, he was 7. 2024, he was 6. Last year, he was 6. This year, he's 7. It's just the tight end position is not seen as a premium whenever you look at amount of money spent per position. It's the lowest premium position out there. Does George Kittle deserve to be 7? No, he does not. And, gosh, I hate seeing it. He's the people's tight end. He's the best personality, perhaps, in the NFL. Wears jersey number 85, 6'4", 250. He's 32 years old and coming off an Achilles. That's why he fell to this 7th spot. Now, the workouts are looking great. They really, really are. I know we know a lot about George Kittle. And I'm curious in the chat. Don't hold back. What are your thoughts with George Kittle being number 7? Too low, too high, about right. What number would you put him? I think the chat might have died on us. it's not you guys. I think YouTube, it's not loading on, what's it called? It's not there. But maybe it'll start coming through. Now, let's get to the background. Played his college football at Iowa. Born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin. Went to Norman High School in Oklahoma. His dad, Bruce, played offensive line for Iowa for 3 seasons. And he's famous for writing the letter to George Kittle before every single game. That's beautiful. In high school, George Kittle played tight end, wide receiver, linebacker, DB, did all these things. Was All-State as a senior, team captain, 3-star recruit, goes to Iowa, plays in Kirk Ferentz's system, and they just use him as a blocker. They don't ever throw him the ball. That's the only reason why he was able to fall to the 5th round. And, man, just been a stud since he showed up. No doubt about it. Kittles have become much-watched TV, not just George Kittle, his wife Claire, incredible, which her and Kristen Juszczyk showed up to the 40-hour rush party 1 year. Dude, that was crazy. Grown men just going bananas. George Kittle was drafted in the 5th round, 146 overall. By far one of the highest players in that draft. Kyle Shanahan's first inaugural draft, which wasn't very good, but he's top 5 player. In that draft overall, you got him in the 5th round. You got him pick 146. And then you just start going. He's going into his 10th season, becomes an all-decade nighter, him and Kyle Juszczyk. Gotta love that. Played 124 games, 595 receptions, 8,008 receiving yards, 52 touchdowns. Heart and soul of the team, just incredible. Best all-around tight end whenever you're looking at blocking. Has been for a long time. Blocking, receiving, you name it. But the problem is he hasn't been the go-to guy in Kyle Shanahan's system really ever. And so his stats take a little bit of a hit because he blocks so often. And so you see guys like George Kittle, Trey McBride, You know, you can go on and on and on. Brock Bowers. These guys don't play the same position as George Kittle. They are slot wide receivers. And so the statistics don't mount up whenever you're just looking at fantasy numbers for George Kittle because he blocks so damn much. He's basically an extra right tackle. Now, you look at what he's done accolades-wise. Two-time first-team All-Pro, I think that's bullshit. Should have been three or four easily. Three-time second-team All-Pro because, again, a lot of those sports writers don't pay attention to blocking. They just look at stats. Seven-time Pro Bowler. Now, let's dive into the Hall of Fame score. And so with all the players left on this countdown except for Brock Purdy, we're going to dive into the Hall of Fame resume. What it takes, and so this is my cup of tea, by the way. Like, if I could have a job as like a, like, if I could get into the room, the Hall of Fame sports writers room to vote and go through that process, that would be the coolest thing in the world. I never will because I don't want credentials and I don't want to be told what I can say and what I can't say and take this down and don't talk about this. I'll never do that. Niners are notorious for that. But to be in that room would be pretty cool. So let's go through the Hall of Fame resume. And like, I understand it's very easy to say, well, George Kittle's good. He's a Hall of Famer. All right, cool. Well, let's look at it. Who's ahead of him? Who's he ahead of? What needs to be done to finally stamp that? He has a Hall of Fame score of 49.64. This is Pro Football Reference metric measurement on what's been accomplished and how likely he is to get in. That's 20th best at tight end. There's not a lot of tight ends in the Hall of Fame. And there is a logjam. The 90s and 2000s went through this freaking renaissance of quality tight end play. These are all guys that are not in yet. Listen to this list of names waiting to get into the Hall of Fame. Gronk, who I think is the greatest tight end of all time. Jason Kelce, Jason Witten, Jimmy Graham. All of those guys have higher scores than George Kittle currently. Now, guys behind George Kittle that are already retired waiting to get in, Greg Olsen, Jay Novacek, Brent Jones, who was at 49ers practice yesterday. Like, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, 8 guys, you know, if we're talking, you know, just all tight ends waiting. But, man, you start counting the amount of tight ends that are – come on, Pro Football Reference. Now's not the time to refresh. I love this site. It's my favorite site, but they added this verification step on it, and it's kind of ruined it. Listen to how many tight ends are in the Hall of Fame. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's it. There's 10 tight ends in the Hall of Fame. That's it. I just gave you a list of 8 guys that are Hall of Fame worthy that are waiting. Hall of Fame doesn't typically like to let in multiple positions from the same group. They like to spread it out. I'm telling you, like, George Kittle's a Hall of Famer. I agree with that. But, man, you can't put him in ahead of Gronk and Kelce. You cannot. Jason Witten's stats almost double whenever you look from a receiving standpoint, and he's played so freaking long. Jimmy Graham, his receiving stats would get him in for a wide receiver. George Kittle's got an issue because, one, no Super Bowl, no championship ring, only 2 All-Pros. But the flip side is George Kittle's personality helps him a lot. Started tight end U. What he does with WWE is gigantic. All the personality stuff, whatever else. Now, if George Kittle gets another All-Pro or a championship, then 100% he's a lock. But right now, George Kittle's going to have to wait for a while. And the problem with that is he's 32. Let's list the injuries he's had. This is not a short list. Pedal foot, knee patella sprain, MCL sprain, hamstring strain, pedal foot fracture, calf strain, groin strain, sports hernia, Achilles tear. That's 10-plus major sports injuries that he's had in his career. Now he's 32. He's only played 1 season out of 10 where he's played every single game in the year. And that was back in 2018, second year in the league. That's where he broke the record for most receiving yards ever by a tight end. Kelce broke it the next year. 2025 was the first time, actually, though, the flip side, nuanced take, where he missed more than two games in a season all the way back since 2021. Kittle's been relatively healthy before last year. He had a good three-year spurt where it was like, okay, miss one or two games, that's it. Started 11 games last year, 57 receptions, 628 yards, 7 touchdowns, still killing it from every metric. 72.2 pass blocking grade, 72.2 run blocking grade, 91 receiving grade. Like, he's still incredible. He's made $82 million in his career, and he signed through 2029. He'd be 36 that year. I really hope George Kittle plays that long because the toughness will never, ever go away. I love George Kittle. I hate that he is number 7 on this list. Once Slick Dude says, I don't like it. Reese, not mad at you, John. Seems fair. Tommy says, I like it. Okay, cool. Dan, I can think of at least 6 players more important this season. Apparently the Niners can too, since they did nothing to soften his absence. Yeah. I can't believe they haven't added premium tight ends through the draft back-to-back years. Depends on 6. And yeah, Joe, right here, it says Kittle 7? Depends on who's 6. And he better be a career Niner. George Kittle never needs to wear another. Again, I'm a Niners fan. Let's just be honest. Like, I'm biased. You put on another team's uniform, you lessen in my value. Now, it's different if the Niners don't want you anymore. That is different. And you look at Jerry Rice, you look at Navarro Bowman, you look at some of those guys. If the team doesn't want you anymore, that's one thing. Demanding trades and forcing your way off, Debo style, whatever else, completely different story. Completely different story. So, but yeah, Kittle never needs to wear another jersey. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Farscape right here. I'd say a ring puts him in for sure, regardless of how much more he adds to his numbers. His numbers are low from a receiving metric with those 8 guys I've mentioned. He's lacking big time in those. No doubt about it. Right here, might be 20 years before Kittle gets in. Unless they start letting in a tight end every single freaking year, that's what they're going to have to do. And, man, let me pull this up here. 2026 Hall of Fame inductees. Didn't let in a tight end this year. Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Luke Kuechly, Vinatieri, Roger Craig. Not one tight end. And you had a lot of guys that were eligible that were like, you know, that made the finalist there. Greg Olsen, Jay Novacek, like Witten. There are guys that are there. Gronk's not eligible because he went back and played and won the Super Bowl with the Bucks. But right now it's going to take some time. Yeah, he'll get in. He'll get in. Yeah, Montana shoved out. Yeah, that went on Montana, right? And so the context matters for how players leave the team. It really does. It matters to me. It matters to me. Yeah, crazy that Jones isn't in. And his score and grade and metrics are all behind guys like Jay Novacek and Greg Olsen. Like, I mean, he might be on like that Roger Craig path where it's like, dude, Brent Jones might not get in until 20 plus years later, maybe longer. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. All right, number 6. Biggest addition this offseason, I would argue. Mike Evans. Again, we'll go through the Hall of Fame tour. And so my question to you in the chat, who should be ranked higher on this list? Evans or Kittle? Legit debate. And I know we're excited with our shiny new toy. I would argue, George Kittle, if from a health standpoint, that is why we gave the nod to Mike Evans, right? That's where that comes from. Mike Evans, you know, brand new, hasn't been a part of this. Where's jersey number 5? 6'5", 231. He's 32. Will be 33 years old when the season starts. He's old, man. Played at Texas A&M way back in the Johnny Manziel days. He's a Galveston Ball High School. Stayed local. Went to A&M. And he didn't start playing football until he was a senior in high school. Isn't that crazy? Exploded. From a senior, he's a basketball guy. Averaged 18 points a game playing basketball. Long jump, triple jump, long jump, high jump, and track. Highly recruited prospect. Went with A&M. I hate that. Amazing career. All-American, all-SEC honors back in 2013. Drafted by the Bucks in 2014 draft That's before Shanahan even joined the Niners. Seventh overall, one of the best drafts of all time, by the way. He's been more consistent than any wide receiver the last decade. It'd be Larry Fitzgerald, then it would be Mike Evans. And before Larry Fitzgerald, it was Jerry Rice. Like, talk about, you know, shoot, Larry Fitzgerald getting in the Hall of Fame this year, right? Unbelievable. Now, listen to this draft class. 2014, the Bucs take Mike Evans, seventh overall in the first round. Listen to this wide receiver draft. This is all one draft. Number four overall, Sammy Watkins. I was the biggest Sammy Watkins fan. He was incredible for such a short amount of time. 12, Odell Beckham Jr. 20, Brandon Cooks. 53, Devontae Adams. 61, Allen Robinson. 63, Jarvis Landry. In a wide receiver draft just peppered with unbelievable wide receiver talent, somehow the 49ers walked away with, wait for it, Bruce Ellington. with respect to Bruce Ellington, but like, come on, man. Like, you're talking about a historic wide receiver draft, and you don't get any of those guys. We drafted Jimmy Ward in the first round, 30th overall, which wasn't a bad pick with the Niners for a long time, but he wasn't Devontae Adams, who was still on the board. That was their Fresno kid, right? Local kid, all those things. Mike Evans going into his 13th season, unbelievable stats. 176 games, 866 receptions, 13,000-plus receiving yards, 108 touchdowns. Probably the biggest mark on his career, similar to George Kittle. Only two All-Pros. The consistency factor for Evans is there. The longevity is there, which is a big deal. But whenever you are only the best wide receiver, and again, two to three wide receivers get first-team All-Pro, he only won that twice throughout his career. Now, six Pro Bowls, that's a big deal. 11 straight seasons with over 1,000 yards, tied Jerry Rice's record. That is the most impressive thing that he's done. 11 consecutive seasons with 1,000 yards receiving is just bananas. And the only thing that stopped him was injuries, which he was healthy throughout the majority of his career. Came to the 49ers for a lot less money. Could have got paid more. It narrowed his chances down to the Buffalo Bills, and the 49ers chose the 49ers, he said, because of Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, and the need for an ex-wide receiver. So I think that's huge. I really do. Red zone's going to be huge. The amount of touchdowns, again, this 108 touchdowns, just incredible. Incredible. Won the Super Bowl when Tom Brady went to the Bucs. By far, you know, Josh, who helps with this entire countdown, he put in the notes, one of my favorite players in the NFL, so shout out to Josh. I love Mike Evans. He's not one of my favorite. You can't play for A&M and be one of my favorite guys. Just can't. But I do love and respect everything about Mike Evans. He's incredible. Now, Hall of Fame score for Mike Evans, 77.07, 35th amongst wide receivers, a 77.07 score. Now, this is not kind to Mike Evans, but I'm going to do it anyway. Jerry Rice's score, so Mike Evans has a 77.07. Jerry Rice's Hall of Fame score, 311.99. See the difference there? Doesn't mean Mike Evans shouldn't be in. He's currently the 35th ranked wide receiver of all time on the Hall of Fame metric. He's already ahead of several Hall of Famers that are already in. He has a higher score. Cliff Brandt, these are all Hall of Famers that are in that Mike Evans ranks ahead of. Cliff Branch, Biletnikoff, Sterling Sharp, Lynn Swan, Harold Carmichael, John Stallworth, Bobby Mitchell, Bob Hayes, Tommy McDonald. Mike Evans is in. There is no doubt about it. He is in. Is he a first ballot? I don't think so. First ballot is hard. That is like... The Writers Association has made a point. You know, Frank Gore didn't get in. He's the third all-time leading rusher in NFL history. I don't think Mike Evans at his current stature is first ballot, depending if maybe it's a weaker Hall of Fame first ballot class. Maybe. I think he needs a little bit more. Those two All-Pros are kind of a glaring, yeah, he's in. But he would join. Oh, and I apologize. I misspoke earlier. Mike Evans has zero first-team All-Pros. He has two second-team All-Pros. I apologize about that. That was a huge misstep on mine. It's in the notes. I misread it. And he would join an elite company of wide receivers to never have a first-team All-Pro, Tim Brown, Isaac Bruce, Andre Reed. So three guys have got in to the Hall of Fame wide receivers with no All-Pros ever. Mike Evans fits that territory. So there's precedent to get him in, not a first ballot. He's got to get in. And all these wide receivers are waiting to get in ahead of them, and they have higher scores. Okay, Reggie Wayne, Torrey Holt, Julio Jones, Steve Smith, Devontae Adams, who's still playing, Anquan Boldin, DeAndre Hopkins. All those guys have a higher number. A lot of that's because of all pros. Like DeAndre, I was shocked. DeAndre Hopkins ahead of Mike Evans? Dude's got three all pros. Dude was dominant for a very, very long time where he was the best in the sport. Mike Evans never had an all-pro season, first team. So can that change? Could it be an all-pro guy this year at 33? I doubt it. I doubt it. Now, you look at what Mike Evans did last year. Had the broken clavicle, had the hamstring injury. 30 receptions, 368 yards, three touchdowns, only started eight games. And two of those games he didn't finish. Just didn't play a lot. Niners signed him to a three-year, $42 million deal. He's made $155 million. See why he could take a little less? Trent Williams ain't taking less. Mike Evans taking less. Now, this the contract's weird. I think it's going to be a two-year deal for Mike Evans when it's all said and done. The Niners have an out after this year. So if for some reason Mike Evans doesn't live up to the height, injury-wise, whatever, the Niners can get out of it relatively cheaply. But I think it's going to be a two-year deal. I hope Mike Evans plays three seasons that he signed through. And there's four void years. The Niners are huge on doing it. There's four void years. You're going to be paying Mike Evans for seven seasons. That's crazy. But Mike Evans, number six. Yeah, let's see. George Kittle, number seven. I'm going to star that one, Steve. I'm going to come back to your comment. Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, Captain, I would cry if I saw George in another. Yeah, I would too, 100%. Steve Young got knocked out. Yeah, that ended, whatever. Let's see here. You have the quad to Mike Evans, but he's out there walking around, jogging through routes. I'm not overly concerned. I'm actually happy the Niners are being precautionary, probably the right word, with a lot of these injuries. I'm cool with that. I really, really am. I think that's huge. Yeah, right here, Dan. Can we call Mike Evans and George Kittle 6A, 6B? Yeah. Yeah, that you can flip-flop them. I would not mind at all. And right here, Monkey, Evans going to draw so much attention at a minimum. Seeing this offense with not just one, but likely two big targets with Stribling, Purdy's going to be able to sling it. He's going to have some big guys. Oh, dude, I thought this, Michael, Bradley. Evans is the Frank Gore of wide receivers. Consistent, dependable, always does his job, just no all-pros. I think that's why Frank didn't get in. Frank will get in. I think he gets in next year, maybe one more year. But I thought Frank would get in this year. I think I remember a show where I said probably about 75% chance Frank gets in this year. That's going to jump up to about 85% next year. That third year is going to be about 100%. Like the NFL Hall of Fame, if there's a flaw, you wait. You look at Terrell Owens, who's the second most decorated wide receiver of all time. That dude had to wait. Why? He had a flaw. He was a horrible teammate and forced himself off every single team he'd ever been on, and every single team was happy he left. Like, he deserved to wait, and I'm glad Terrell Owens had to wait. I might be in the minority, but again, I go back. I take it personal. The red and gold matters to me. Matters. Joe, Frank Gore should be in the Hall of Fame this year. Again, I put it at about 85% chance he gets in. Should be in. Should be in. They're going to make you wait. Never had a ring, never had an all-pro. That's where that is. That's where that's going to be. Oh, man. Okay, I'm curious. I want everybody to say who you think the number five is, okay? And again, in no particular order, here are the five players that are left for those of you at home. I want y'all to tell me who number five should be. Okay, we got Fred Warner, Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, and Nick Bosa. Who would you put at number five on that. It's a tough list, man. It is a tough list. Who would you put at five right after this?
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
All right, come party with us. We're going to be in Australia. We're going to be in Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle, Mexico City, Los Angeles. It's right there, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get your tickets. Come party with us. Look at this. I asked you guys, who I gave you the five players. Farscape says, wait, no Fred. I mean CMC. Wait, I can't decide. Dude, that's the – it's hard. We're getting Trent, we're getting CMC, we're getting Fred, we're getting Bosa. Looks like Bosa has the most votes, but I don't think I've ever said this in my life. Christian McCaffrey comes in number five, and I am responsible for this. I am responsible for Christian McCaffrey being five on this list, not Zach, not Ben, not Josh, because I personally factored in Christian McCaffrey coming off seasons where he's led the NFL in targets, which has happened three times. That next season's 0 for 3. Now, this list was created long time ago, right after the draft. Having said that and seeing Christian McCaffrey in camp now, I think I was wrong. Christian McCaffrey looks way better than he did last year at any point in the season. In camp, and it's early. Christian McCaffrey looks way better than he did the year before. Obviously, 2024, he didn't play. You remember whenever they said, oh, yeah, actually, Kyle said, like, yeah, there's a chance Christian McCaffrey starts week one. And then he didn't play for freaking ever. Anyway, so we have Christian McCaffrey coming in number five. Oh, look at this. Rob Lauder with the hat tip. You legend. I know you're going back to school soon, man. Help those kiddos. Appreciate you, Rob. You're the best in the business. And those kids are lucky to have you, man. Just keep making a difference and making the world a better place. Yeah, look at this. Tommy, first time ever being right on this show. I'm joking, of course. I might not be joking, actually. Tommy has some pretty horrible takes, but he got this one right. Who doesn't love Christian McCaffrey? Married Miss Universe. He's from the ultimate family athlete tree ever. I'm going to go through it, and it's comical every single year. Like, it's just interesting. Now, Christian McCaffrey, back in 2024, which was the first offseason the 49ers had him, we ranked him two. He didn't play. 2025, we ranked him five, 2,000-plus yards. This year, we ranked him five again. Jersey number 23, MJ, 5'11", 202, turns 30 on June 7th, just turned 30. Played at Stanford, born in Denver, Colorado. Full name is Christian Jackson McCaffrey. Son of Ed and Lisa McCaffrey, both famous in their own right. Mom played soccer at Stanford for four seasons. Everybody knows Ed McCaffrey, right? Played at Stanford, then he went to the Giants, came to the Niners for that historic 1994 Super Bowl season. Then he goes to the Denver Broncos and wins more Super Bowls. He was with the Broncos for 10 seasons after that with Papa Shanahan. And Christian plays the game like his dad, dude. Like, Christian McCaffrey's designed in a laboratory. Like, his dad and mom brought him up to be in his brothers and sisters, who are all athletes in their own right. None of them are Christian McCaffrey, but come on, who is? The dad literally, 110%, Christian McCaffrey loves practicing. It's hard to get him out. He subs himself out, which is a mistake. Wish they would give him more plays off, but that's okay. And like the story, Christian McCaffrey shared a story about how his dad would not let him wear jeans in high school on game days because it's too heavy on the legs for game day. His dad would pull him out of school every single day to go get an IV drip game day in high school so he wouldn't cramp. All these different things. Like, and again, he wasn't allowed to wear, you were supposed to wear jeans at the school he was, but his dad had a meeting with the principal, explained why he does, and then they allowed athletes to get special treatment. It's a very real thing. But like, Christian McCaffrey has been brought up to be a machine, to be an athlete his entire life, just like his dad. His three brothers, Christian McCaffrey, Max, Dylan, and Luke. Listen to this. Max played wide receiver at Duke. Luke's a wide receiver for the Commanders, drafted by the Commanders. His grandfather, David Simi, ran track at Duke, was the 1960 silver medalist in the 100-yard dash in the 1960 Summer Olympics. He's a 1956 world record holder for the 100-meter dash. His aunt, dude, this list is, it's long, but it's impressive. This is McCaffrey family. His aunt, Sherry Sime Giusto, I'm Ron Burgundy, played tennis at Virginia. Uncle Scott Sime played football and wrestled at Duke. His aunt, Monica McCaffrey, played basketball at Georgetown. Uncle Bill McCaffrey played basketball at Duke and Vanderbilt. Uncle Mike McCaffrey played basketball at Husson College. Come on, man. Like, dude, John Chapman's family tree is so-and-so ain't eight Twinkies. It's full of pig farmers and truck drivers. Not that there is anything wrong with pig farmers and truck drivers, but athletes descended upon, I did not. McCaffrey had no choice to be a legend. And really big off the field, spent 2013, he went to Rwanda on a mission trip, plays piano, majored in communication, married Miss Universe Olivia Culpo. Freaking, come on. They've already had their first kid, expecting their second now. Now let's get to the NFL. He gets drafted by the Panthers in 2017. This is Kyle Shanahan's first draft with the Niners. He went eighth overall. 49ers took Solomon Thomas, third overall pick. Wah, wah. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is there, whatever else. The one thing, the saving grace, is John Lynch upped the trade offer for the Bears to jump from 3-2 to get Mitch Trubisky. They wanted that extra third round, and you know, the Bears said no. Then they came back and said yes. That third round pick that they held out for became Fred Warner. That's the saving grace. Solomon Thomas definitely never lived up to be the third overall pick. He still is in the NFL, and he's had a really good career. He's just a pass rush specialist, but probably shouldn't have been a first or second round pick. Probably should have been in the third round. If you knew the career Solomon Thomas was going to have, he would have been an early third round pick. Knowing now, hindsight, not third overall, of course. Christian McCaffrey, this is, and that 2017 draft was awesome. Christian McCaffrey, the running back, has the fifth most receiving yards of the entire draft class. He's a running back. He's only behind Cooper Kupp, George Kittle, and Godwin, Chris Godwin for the Bucs. He'll pass Juju Smith-Schuster this year. He's just a little bit behind him. Christian McCaffrey, fourth most valuable player in that draft class, behind Mahomes, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt. Stellar draft. Niners got Solomon Thomas. Did get George Kittle, which, you know, he's definitely in that list as well. 49ers traded a second, third, fourth, and future fifth round pick to get him. Outbid the Rams. It was down to those two teams. Now, I thought this was interesting. I went back and looked at what all those picks became for the Christian McCaffrey trade. These are the players that it brought in. Now, those picks were subsequently traded and whatever else, but the picks that the Niners gave away, Brenton Strange, tight end, starting tight end, Darnell Washington, starting tight end, Nick Herbig, starting, you know, off-ball linebacker, rusher, and Tyrone Tracy, backup running back. All those picks kind of panned out. Add them together, they're not worth Christian McCaffrey and the return that he's brought to the 49ers. The 49ers won that trade. But those picks, would the 49ers have picked those players? I don't know. But like, those are quality players. I don't think that there's a true loser, because you weren't going to sign Christian McCaffrey. He wasn't going to return to you anyway. So yeah, deal with this what you will. Christian McCaffrey's going into his 10th year, fifth as a 49er. 121 games for his career, 8,194 total rushing yards, 68 rushing touchdowns. Dude's just 41 receiving touchdowns. He's incredible. 109 total touchdowns. Him and Mike Evans are fighting back and forth. Now, with 1,500 receiving yards from scrimmage, CMC will have more yards with the 49ers than he did with the Panthers, even though he had had an extra year there, which I think is kind of cool. Third player in NFL history to have a 1,000 and 1,000 season. Shout out to Hall of Famer Roger Craig, Marshall Faulk. Christian McCaffrey almost did it again last year. He surpassed 2,000 yards from scrimmage three times. If he does it one more time, he will be tied for the NFL lead all time. Listen to these names. Walter Payton, Marshall Faulk, Eric Dickerson. Does Christian McCaffrey have another 2,000-yard season in him? I doubt it, but man, he looks the part. Can he stay healthy this year? If Christian McCaffrey stays healthy all 17 games, he'll hit 2,000 yards. Kyle Shanahan's going to feed him the ball nonstop till he dies. If he stays healthy, he'll hit 2,000 yards. Will he stay healthy, though? I don't know. Now, the Hall of Fame roster, his Hall of Fame resume for Christian McCaffrey, he has a 54.2 score, low, 39th amongst running backs. You're looking at, you know, the peak resume, NFL Offensive Player of the Year 2023, Comeback Player of the Year 2025, three first team All Pros 2019, 2023, 2025. One second team All-Pro, four Pro Bowlers, rushing leader in 2023. Only ahead of two current Hall of Famers, Larry Zonka and Floyd Little. That's an issue. He needs more. He's behind a lot of players not yet in. These are players with higher scores at the running back position on the Hall of Fame monitor score from Pro Football Reference that are not in yet. Long list. Work done. Priest Holmes, Fred Taylor, Tiki Barber, Larry Brown, Sean Alexander, Darren Sproles, Ricky Waters, Derrick Henry, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Adrian Peterson. Now, this score isn't everything, but McCaffrey's not a first ballot Hall of Famer or even close to it. Adrian Peterson didn't get in first ballot either. You're waiting a while to get in. The running back position is stacked, man. No rings. That's huge. He will get in, but he's going to have to wait a long time. One more AP, all-pro season championship, then you're talking get in first 5 years. Two of those things, then you're talking, all right, now we can have the conversation of a first ballot. Christian McCaffrey getting in. And, man, with the injuries you have to talk about, he stacks them. Christian McCaffrey's career, if he has one injury, he has multiple. You go back to 2020, he had three major injuries. Shoulder AC joint sprain, missed four games. Thigh glute strain, missed four games. Grade 3 pedal ankle sprain, missed six games. That was a year after leading the NFL in touches. 2019 leads the NFL in touches. 2023 major injuries, didn't play much. Okay? 2021, still dealing with the 2019 injury load. Two injuries in 2021. Thigh hamstring sprain, five games missed. Comes back. Pedal ankle sprain, five games missed. Okay, 2022. Great year. Insane amount of touches. 2023, he has two injuries but didn't miss time, missed one game. He had a chest rib sprain, missed a game, and a calf strain, but played through it. Then 2024, 2023, he led the NFL in touches. 2024, good gosh. That's when the Achilles, whatever you want to call it, the pedal Achilles sprain, missed eight games, comes back to Buffalo game, sprains his PCL, missed five games. Four below the knee injuries is rough for a career. Can Christian McCaffrey stay healthy? He looks the part. He looks way better in camp than he has the past two camps. It's not close. He looks it. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay healthy? Started all 19 games last year. Did get banged up in that Seattle game. Over 1,000 snaps, 337 rushes. That's too many. 1,285 rush yards plus 113 receptions, 1,029 yards. Dude, 2,314 total yards. Badass. That's including playoffs. 19 total touchdowns. Had a 66.3 rush grade. A lot of that's Jake Brindle, that left guard spot. McCaffrey didn't look to have the burst last year. It does look like that might be back a little bit better this year. But there was no burst last year. No explosive plays in the run game. None. It was just, dude, we're going to feed you the ball. 337 rush attempts, 113. It's just, he wasn't good explosive running the ball last year. Like that averaged barely over 3 yards a carry. Not good. Signed an extension in 2024, 2 year, worth $38 million. He's made $97.4 million in his career. He signed through 2027. So the Niners have him under contract this year and next year. $26 million cap hit next year. That's going to be rough to swallow with three big void years afterwards. No way the 49ers should extend him. Allow him to finish out this year, next year, and then right off into the sunset. Christian McCaffrey's not a career-long 49er. I don't even care if Christian McCaffrey has back-to-back years on pace with what he did last year. I am not extending him again. I'm not. At 33 years old, no. Not with that injury history. I love Christian McCaffrey. He's a stud. He's number five on this countdown series. Man, I talked for a long time on here. I'm behind on the chat. Sorry, guys. Joe gives his top five. Look at that. He says Purdy, CMC, Fred, Trent, Bosa. Mr. Efton picks. There we go. Yeah, and Jacob, we're talking about the top 10% of the roster. They're all badasses. I agree. Comeback player of the year. Come on, baby. Inserts the $6 million man song. We can build him faster. We can make him stronger. Yes. Ed McCaffrey was good for the 49ers when Mike Shanahan was. It was just 1 year, that 94 year. Yeah, the family dynamic between Shanahan and McCaffrey is crazy too. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan and his sister babysat the McCaffrey kids for a year. Dude, it's freaking nuts. It's nuts. Monkey. Christian McCaffrey's explosiveness is dwindling, but his hands? Don't win that Eagles game without Willie Mays catch from JJ. Yep, that was incredible. And he just looks the part all the time. What's up, Sin? Glad you are here. Joe says Nick Bosa has no chance in hell at the Hall of Fame. Ooh, we shall see. I might disagree with that. Dude, Defensive Player of the Year. The 49ers have had three Defensive Player of the Years in their entire franchise history. Nick Bosa is one of them. Dana Stubblefield, he's not getting the Hall of Fame. He's in prison. And Deion Sanders, who all like the Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, carries so much weight. It's MVP than those two awards. You're the best player out of all 32 teams, and Nick Bosa's 28. Is, you know, if Nick Bosa's career was over, would he be in the Hall of Fame? No. But this dude has two more All-Pros. I don't know, man. That name carries a lot of it. Yeah, he got the All-Pros, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year. I don't know, man. He's on the trajectory. He's not in now. Christian McCaffrey's in now, but might have to wait 30 years. Mike Evans is in now, might have to wait a while. They're in, but yeah. And I think that this is that I get this criticism, Joe. The whole offense is based around Christian McCaffrey. I would argue it shouldn't be. I would argue it should not be. But yeah, if you have Christian McCaffrey higher, I have no issues with that. I don't value running backs as much as other people, and Christian McCaffrey coming off leading the NFL in touches was a huge factor in keeping him at five. Yeah, big time. Yeah. Ugh. Fun list. I didn't get near as much hate as I was anticipating today. I would like more hate sometimes. Christian McCaffrey at five. Mike Evans at six. George Kittle at seven. Colton McKivitz at eight. I don't think people are complaining about that. But yeah, like this roster is stacked. And whenever you look at, dude, George Kittle's your eighth best player. How many rosters could you put George Kittle on and him be number eight or seven? Sorry, he was seven on this list. Dude, how is George Kittle not a top five player? Well, the Achilles, and then you start looking at these other names at premium positions. Whew. This roster is freaking awesome, man. It is awesome. I love this team. All right, 49ers, they have their jog through day today. Tomorrow, their hard day of practice, and then Sunday, day off. Tomorrow, we'll have another practice report, training camp, notes section, which will be a lot of fun. I'm not sure when I'm going to get that show done, but we will get that one to you. Appreciate everybody. You guys are the best of the best. And if you're looking to sponsor the 49ers Rush podcast, we are looking for sponsors for the season. We have packages that we can tailor all the way down to a couple hundred dollars, all the way up to man, you want your name synonymous, and we introduce you, your company, at the start of the show. We can do giveaways, all that stuff. We have thousands and thousands of people that watch this show every single day, and we are so thankful through downloads and all that stuff. Once the season starts, we hit about 15,000 per episode. You want to get your business or your idea out there, reach out to us, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys so much, and as always, stay strong, faithful.